Forex Fridays, only on Money FM 89.3.
The end of October was a tumultuous one for asset classes, especially in the Forex space, and it looks like it's going to continue to be potentially volatile as we approach the U.S. elections. And a lot of things to take stock of also. You've got China's five-year plan and also a huge IPO that's happening out in Hong Kong and Shanghai. Well, let's take a step back and take stock of what's in store for Forex markets as we head into the last 2 months of this year. Joining us today on Forex Fridays, again, is Han Tan, analyst at FXTM, to help us lay out what's in store for Forex markets and what's at stake. Han, thank you so much for joining us today. Glad to hear you and your loved ones are still safe and in good health up in Kuala Lumpur. And welcome back to the show, sir.
Oh, always a pleasure. Thanks for having me, JP.
I have to go back first to Wednesday night when we saw that huge, huge pullback in U.S. markets that introduced so much volatility. The VIX spiked up by about 20%. We saw these big sell-offs also. And it's bringing back shades of 2016 when we saw those huge volatility bouts around Trump's upset win. This bout of volatility on the sell-offs, how do you think this is going to shape Forex markets in the coming weeks?
Oh, certainly. So if you look at the implied volatility for 1 month out, right, in the FX markets, that gauge has actually been rising over the past couple of weeks. And if you look at Deutsche Bank's index, it's at the highest since April. And that's immediately after the crazy swings that we saw back in March. Now, to be clear, I'm not expecting those kind of major misallocations that we saw back in March over the near term, but heightened volatility, I think that's the base case that markets are working with. So, you know, like you mentioned earlier, and you're right to point this out, you know, risk sentiment obviously has a major say on the FX markets. And of course, we have that big unknown that is the US elections, just a matter of days away. And now markets don't have that veneer of the imminent pre-election U.S. fiscal stimulus package to contend with, so they're having to face up to these looming downside risks, not just the U.S. political uncertainties, but of course, the very real threat of a double-dip global recession. So with these concerns coming back to the fore, you know, I think we could well see risk aversion being the blanket theme over the FX space over the coming days and weeks.
So risk aversion usually leads to a flight to safe havens. But over the course of the last 2 days, Han, we haven't really seen safe havens benefit that much, like, say, the Japanese yen or even gold, which is coming off of one of their most challenging months since 2019. Do you think action will be limited for the safe havens until at least the other side of the U.S. elections? And does that mean that pretty much at this point, cash is going to be king?
What I would say is what is apparent over the last couple of months is that King Dollar has quite comfortably reclaimed its throne, and it has become the dominant safe haven asset, or at least the preferred safe haven asset, at the expense of the likes of gold, given its negative correlation between the precious metal and the dollar. Of course, we could see a big move next week. We just got to get to the other side of that massive unknown that is the U.S. election. But then we expect the dollar to remain well bid in the event we get this ambiguous outcome to the November 3rd vote. As for the Japanese yen, it has been gaining quite steadily as well, even right now as we speak, looking to test this key psychological resistance level of around that 104 mark against the US dollar. It tried and failed at the end of July. It tried and failed again at the end of last month. So we'll see if it's going to be a case of a third time lucky these next few days where we can see the yen strengthen past 104. So if I had to rank them in terms of their allure as a safe haven asset, I would go dollar first and then Japanese yen. And well, gold has really, its status as a safe haven asset has really been eroded over the past 2-3 months.
Right. We're still speaking to Han Tan, analyst at FXTM, here on Forex Fridays. Of course, the other huge weight on market sentiment over the last week also is these rising COVID-19 infections, which really snapped folks back into reality when Europe's two largest economies, Germany and France, went back into lockdown. And again, these are also two of the largest economies in the world. Now, how badly might this weigh on the euro, which has really been walloped in the last week and a half? And based on the ECB's recent comments, should they even be expected to do more, given how many have said that monetary policy is at its last legs in terms of effectively helping economies?
Yeah, look, Christine Lagarde obviously suggested as much this week, right? Perhaps paving the way for more stimulus in December. She seems to be taking a page out of the Mario Draghi's playbook, the former ECB president. Well, you know, he had that famous line of whatever it takes. So the pandemic has obviously given fresh legs to that whatever it takes mantra. And you're hearing it both out of the monetary side and also on the fiscal side. So, you know, those expectations of more easing certainly weighing on the euro against these safe haven currencies that I mentioned earlier, like the dollar, the yen, the franc. But when you compare it against other G10 currencies, it seems to be holding its own all right, because, you know, many other G10 economies are also contending with the resurgence of COVID-19. We had been highlighting, right, this as a downside risk for a while now, whereby a resurgence of COVID-19 could derail that global economic recovery, as nascent as it still is. And so that's feeding into the euro, which is set to register a weekly decline against most of its G10 peers this week.
We have to also tackle what's happening out in China, right, Han? And, you know, over the last 3 weeks, we've talked about the yuan's sudden strength. It seems that China is trying to introduce efforts to try and tame this slowly but surely. The question is, will they be able to do so? Will this attempt to sort of liberalize or loosen some of the currency controls actually lead to the yuan easing off a little bit? Or could this actually lead to more people flocking to the yuan?
Yeah, so if we look at the recent moves by the PBOC, we note it's done in the name of liberalizing its FX regime. But I think the appreciation in the yuan, you know, over the past few months, you know, it certainly has made it a lot easier. I think it's their second best performing Asian currency in the second half of this year, right? And then if you look at the adjustments that have been made already, for example, Chinese banks, they stopped including that counter-cyclical factor in their formulas. Then also you got the PBOC that made it less expensive to bet against the yuan. It seems to be, you know, stemming back some of the momentum, the gaining momentum in the yuan. But then having said that, you know, I think the efficacy of these moves seem to be limited, because if you look at the underlying fundamental perspective, there's plenty of cause for heightened demand for the yuan, right? So from its reliance on domestic consumption, that could set the macro objective for policymakers. And then of course, if you look at the economic outperformance on China's part, compared to other major economies in the world, then, you know, that rationale, again, from the fundamental perspective, seems to make very clear sense, right? So I think we could see more efforts to liberalize this FX regime in this period of yuan strength, but there has to be this seismic or a material shift in the fundamental outlook before we could actually start talking about a meaningful yuan weakening.
So let's jump from the yuan and head over to Hong Kong. We know next week, we are expecting by November 5th, potentially Ant Group will actually start listing out in Shanghai and Hong Kong simultaneously. This could arguably be the largest IPO in history. And of course, with huge IPOs with so much demand, usually the demand for their currencies, the yuan and the Hong Kong dollar, rise. But the Hong Kong dollar in recent days, Han, has given up significant gains after the books actually closed. How do you think the IPO is going to shape trading for the Hong Kong dollar next week if and when Ant Group finally comes online on both the Hong Kong and Shanghai bourses?
Yeah, I think once the shares are actually publicly traded, then I think that should prop up demand for the Hong Kong dollar. I mean, you're right to point out that even from yesterday and today, right now, we are seeing the Hong Kong dollar come off the stronger end of its trading range against the US dollar, right? But I think that implies that the Hong Kong Monetary Authority, they're going to have their work cut out for them some more over the coming weeks in keeping that Hong Kong dollar to that pegged range, right? I mean, and you saw it earlier this week as well. I think they sold over 31 billion Hong Kong dollars, and that translates into about 4 billion US dollars that they sold in one day, which is a record. You know, so they are making these moves, these interventions, and like they have over this the course of this year, and trying to make sure that peg holds, right? Now, if we look at next week, it's not just the IPO. Of course, we could see if the US dollar has a wild knee-jerk reaction to the US elections, then again, the Hong Kong de facto central bank might have plenty to do over the coming days and weeks.
And very quickly, Han, is there any ASEAN currency that we should probably watch in the weeks after the US elections, especially if there's a possibility that we're going to see a lot of uncertainty and volatility? Which one in this whole complex might be the most sensitive to events stateside?
So I'm going to filter that through the correlation with the dollar index. So if you look at the major five ASEAN currencies, the Singapore dollar has the strongest positive correlation with the dollar index. And forgive me if I'm getting a bit technical here. It's got reading of a positive 0.86 over the past 3 months on a rolling 10-day basis for you FX nerds out there. But you know, so given the perception of the Singapore dollar as a regional safe haven, look, that could come back to the fore again if we see heightened risk aversion next week. Now, obviously, the best case scenario for risk appetite would be an early declared win for either candidate. So that's something that markets can work with. But if there's this ambiguous result, then I think risk aversion would heighten, right? It's the same risks that I'm making for those bullish calls for the safe haven assets that we mentioned earlier, right? So yeah, I'll be looking at the Singapore dollar if that's a risk-averse outcome. But in terms of, say, implied volatility, we're looking at the Indonesian rupiah because it has the highest implied volatility among Asian currencies, not just ASEAN, but Asian currencies for the one-month time frame. So those are the two currencies among the major five ASEAN currencies that I'll be looking at.
So the Sing dollar has that positive, strong positive correlation with the US dollar, but they also have a strong positive correlation with the Chinese yuan, Han.
Mm.
If push came to shove and you saw the dollar weaken and the yuan strengthen, which way do you think the Sing dollar might try to lean?
Yeah, then, you know, if there is that undiscernible push and pull between the dollar and the yuan, I think we can fall back on the global economy, right? So because of Singapore's open nature as an economy, given its reliance on external trade, if these concerns over that double dip global recession of those external factors can then come back to the fore, then it could override some of those correlations. And then from a fundamental perspective, the Singapore dollar could reflect those broader macro global concerns.
Han Tan, analyst at FXTM, thank you so much as always for joining us on Forex Fridays. As always, I wish you and your loved ones continued good health and safety in these very uncertain times. And we look forward to having you back on the show again. Meantime, stay safe out there in Kuala Lumpur and try to enjoy the weekend, sir.
You too, buddy. Thanks for having me.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.